It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. A law that drew massive protests and made Wisconsin the center of a national fight over union rights, Act 10 is still being challenged in court 13 years after it took effect.
Last week, a Dane County judge ruled that parts of the law violate the equal protection guarantees of the state constitution.
Act 10 sharply limited collective bargaining rights for most public employees, but it provided exemptions for public safety employees like police officers and firefighters.
We look at the potential effects of the recent ruling on public employees with John Shelton, a professor and chair of democracy and justice studies at UW-Green Bay. John, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kate and Rob. It's great to be here.
So Dane County Judge Jacob Frost rules that Act 10 violates the state constitution's equal protection provision. What aspects of Act 10 does the judge see as a violation here?
Yeah, so Judge Frost looked at, there's a five-part test for the sort of rational basis of whether or not the division between public safety workers and general workers was legitimate, was rational, and said that effectively it's not, because you have certain groups like Capitol Police, who you would think would be included in public safety workers, were not included. And then workers like folks for the motor vehicle department were included under the public safety category. So what the judge said is that there's no rational basis for dividing those two categories. And the decision, and this is really big, is he effectively said that all the collective bargaining aspects of Act 10 are unconstitutional. There's still a lot up in the air. I'm sure we're going to get into this. It's unclear exactly what the remedy is going to be at this point. What he's effectively said is that he wants both the plaintiffs and the defendants' attorneys to come back and say, okay, what should be the remedy based on this situation? So we're still kind of waiting for that, but the really kind of broad reaching nature of the decision is huge, actually, because overturning all the collective bargaining aspects of Act 10 effectively means that for the vast majority of public employees, there's a real path to having meaningful collective bargaining rights in the state.
And we're going to dig deeper into what these arguments might be for what sections of Act 10 could be struck under the judge's ruling. But first, can you back up for a moment and give us a little primer here on the state constitution's equal protection clause and what it means?
Yeah, so, okay, I'm going to say this by pointing out that I'm not an attorney.
Sure.
But I'd be making a little bit more money if I did, probably. But equal protection clause effectively says that you can't treat different people differently, effectively, right, in terms of the rights that folks have under the Constitution. And so, at least all things being equal. So if you're going to treat people differently and say this group of people has access to these rights and this group of people doesn't, then you have to actually have, again, what this has been used in numerous cases. There's a five-part rational basis test to say, okay, the state does have an interest in dividing people into these categories. So for public safety workers, the argument might be, well, you know, it's important. They talked about this in oral arguments. You might need to have labor. It might be more likely to have labor peace if police and fire are able to collectively bargain, and the state might put a premium on that. So if you are going to treat people differently, you have to have some kind of reason for doing so. You can't just sort of indiscriminately say, we're going to give these rights to this group of people and these rights to this other group of people. And that's what the judge argued sort of happened with Act 10.
Can you talk about the plaintiffs here and who has brought this challenge to Act 10?
Yeah, so the challenge is being brought by a series of unions, pooled their resources and said, we want to make a legal argument sort of together that will, be the best legal argument. One of the unions, full disclosure, is the Teaching Assistants Association, which is a union that's affiliated with AFT Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
As well as AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees in Wisconsin. Argument again is that their members are being treated unequally by not having the same collective bargaining rights as public safety workers have in the state.
And under this ruling, a group like yours could be poised to retake some rights and privileges that you had before Act 10?
So, yes, it's important to note that, you know, the public employee unions never went away in this state, right? I mean, collective bargaining is one tool that unions use, you know, to kind of, you know, what a union basically does is it takes worker concerns, you know, worker efforts to improve their workplace and sort of puts them all in one place and allows them to, as the name would suggest, collectively advocate, collectively negotiate for better wages and working conditions. And in the public sector, it's really important because this also includes in the education world, advocating for things that are good for our students. What Act 10 did is it basically said, you can still advocate for those things. You can still push for those things. I mean, we have, you know, broad ranging First Amendment rights, even without going through the recertification process that unions that are excluded from full bargaining rights still have to go through. Mm-hmm. You can't negotiate those things into a contract. So we've continued to do that in the state. But what Act 10 did is it said you can't negotiate over a lot of different things. So like teachers can't negotiate over class sizes. Workers for state agencies can't negotiate over healthcare, right? They can't negotiate over retirement benefits. Mm-hmm. And so what this ruling could do is allow all of those workers to negotiate over the same things that police and fire can negotiate, which is the sort of full suite of working conditions. So it's basically like another tool that all public sector unions in the state, most public sector unions, I should say, would then have if this ruling ends up where it could end up.
Talking with John Shelton, professor and chair of democracy and justice studies at UW-Green Bay, about a Dane County judge's recent ruling finding parts of Act 10 violate the state constitution. Act 10, as we've been talking about, sharply limited the power of public unions in Wisconsin. John Shelton, since Act 10 became law in 2011, Wisconsin has become a right-to-work state. Employees cannot be compelled to join unions. As you talk about Act 10, how does this aspect, right to work, affect public workers?
So when you say Wisconsin became a right to work state, that law that was passed in 2015, making Wisconsin a right to work state, actually applies to private sector unions. Hmm. So this ruling would have no impact on private sector workers. They're governed by federal labor law, and states have, under federal labor law, they have the option of whether or not to effectively be what you're calling right to work, what I would call excluding fair share agreements for workers, right? That if you're going to get the benefits of a union contract, you have to contribute. In the public sector, there was a national Supreme Court decision in 2017 or 18, I think it was 18, called Janus versus AFSCME, which actually forbids union security clauses, fair share fees, allows right to work in the public sector all across the country. So that aspect, that you're right, under Act 10, those sorts of agreements were made illegal, but that's now been superseded by the U.S. National Supreme Court case. So that wouldn't change.
Okay.
As would be the case in every state in this country.
And as we broaden out here, a federal appeals court in 2014 ruled Act 10 was constitutional. And in that same year, the Wisconsin Supreme Court upheld the law. What arguments do you think would be made in an appeal that might keep Act 10 in place as is?
Yeah, so it's important to note that this is a novel challenge, right? I mean, when you again, not an attorney, but when you challenge things in the courts, you know, you have to kind of find new ground to challenge them. So those cases, and actually Judge Frost referenced this in his decision. He did say these are new grounds to challenge the case. So those decisions, while there may be some arguments that are sort of recycled there, this would be a completely new kind of set of arguments. Essentially, what's going to happen now is, again, the judge has asked both sides to come back with sort of their recommendation of here's how we should sort of navigate this. Union attorneys are likely going to argue for like the most sweeping sort of remedy that would probably, you know, have the broadest possible reach of bargaining rights for public and for all general public employees. The legislature is probably going to make a more restrictive argument, which is that, you know, maybe only a smaller classification of workers should get full collective bargaining rights, like effectively kind of try to rationalize that division between public safety and general employees. And then we'll see what Judge Frost's, you know, kind of what his ruling is moving forward about what should happen. It's important to note, though, that once he makes that ruling, that will be the law of Wisconsin. So we can expect this to be right. It'll be challenged. There's an appellate court in the state. And then it will likely go to the state Supreme Court. So it will be challenged. But until that happens, this will be the law of the land. So, you know, I see no reason why public employees couldn't start pushing for the full exercise of whatever rights, you know, Judge Frost rules should be restored in this decision.
And John Shelton, yeah. If this case reaches the state Supreme Court, earlier this year, Liberal Justice Jana Protasiewicz was asked by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial board if she would consider recusing herself because of her participation in the protests against Act 10. And let's listen to her response.
Given the fact that I marched, given the fact that I signed the recall petition, would I recuse myself? Maybe, but I don't know for sure.
Very quickly, what effects could a recusal have on this challenge if it reaches the state's high court?
Well, here's what's interesting. The thing to remember is that this case, whatever the lower court ruling is, that will be the law of the land. So if it gets to the state Supreme Court and Judge Jana Protasiewicz were to recuse herself, a 3-3 tie would effectively maintain whatever the lower court ruling is. So, you know, if there's a really sweeping ruling and she recuses herself, it might not actually overturn, that might not be enough to overturn a lower court decision.
John, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Kate. Thank you so much. This is an important topic.
John Shelton is a professor and chair of democracy and justice studies at UW Green Bay, talking with him about a Dane County judge's recent ruling that parts of Wisconsin's Act 10 law violate the state constitution.